We heard a few moments ago about Pakistan, a country ravaged by a river bursting its banks. Now we go to Africa and a nation sustained by a river. The mighty Congo River threads its way through the heart of Africa for nearly 3,000 miles. Balladeers sing about this great river and its importance to the people of Congo. In many ways, it mirrors the checkered fortunes of that nation, a country of vast natural resources that has witnessed slavery, dictatorship, continuing poverty, and conflict. NPR's Ophevia Quist Arkton begins a week-long journey charting the river's course. She starts in Kisangani, a city nestled deep in the rainforest, far from the mouth of the Congo River on the Atlantic Ocean.
Western explorers David Livingstone and Henry Morton Stanley, writer Joseph Conrad, Hollywood classics like The African Queen, and singers such as 50s Congolese crooner Grand Calais Joseph Kabasele, all have immortalized the majestic Congo River. Kabasele's hit Ebale ya Congo, the Congo River, calls it a lifeline and an essential waterway. The expansive brown waters, fringed with white foam, rush over the giant boulders at Stanley Falls here on the Congo River in Kisangani. Historian Isidore Ndayewele Nziem underscores the unifying force of the river.
Le fleuve, c'est vraiment l'épine dorsale du pays.
The Congo River is the backbone of this country. It feeds us, and the river is a boulevard, because that's how many people are able to travel up and down the country and around the region.
Present-day Kisangani used to be Colonial Stanleyville, named after the American journalist and adventurer who, along with Livingstone, earned fame by finding the source of the Congo River near the shores of Lake Tanganyika. Belgium's King Leopold II dispatched Stanley in 1879 to colonize what he later called the Congo Free State. Leopold turned this slice of Africa in the heart of the continent into a private fiefdom notorious for its savagery. Workers had their hands chopped off if they failed to meet demands. Millions died in Leopold's pursuit of the riches to be had through rubber and ivory. At Leopold's bidding, Stanley signed treaties with the traditional rulers of the Wagenya fishing community living here in Kisangani on the banks around the falls, which consist of seven cataracts spanning 60 miles. Villagers still pole long, narrow dugout canoes up and down the dark Supi River, much as their ancestors did. Master fisherman Augustin Ogi Saidi was our guide.
My name is Ogi Saidi, I'm a fisherman. Now we are at the Stanley Falls, where our Wagenya people used to going for fishing. Kisangani means an island. So everything that from that island in front, where right now is a remembrance place of the meeting of Stanley and our first ancestors, just there.
So that's where
Stanley,
Henry Morton Stanley, met the Wagenya, your Wagenya ancestors.
Yes, of course, in that island. And they spent 3 nights together, they eat together, and they talk together. And our ancestor welcomed him and gave him a place to build the first colonial post here in Kisangani, in my village. Yeah, there's a lot of history.
Today, Kisangani is Congo's third largest city and the country's most important inland port, 1,000 miles upriver from the capital Kinshasa. Compared with the more glamorous metropolis, shabby Kisangani, where motorbikes reign over motorcars, is the regional hub of the northeast, with a population of more than 1 million. Once Congo's flourishing cotton and textile capital on the river, as well as home to booming fisheries, these industries have languished because of conflicts and rebellions. But a burgeoning diamond business is bringing back hope of employment to Kisangani. However, joblessness remains high and life is tough for many. But life remains much the same for the Wagenya, who are quintessential Congo River folk. Everything comes from the river. Their food, their water, they bathe and wash clothes in the river and spread their laundry to dry along the shores of the Congo. And especially notable is the Wagenya's fishing technique. Diving into the rapids, they hoist these immense handcrafted baskets onto precarious narrow wooden bridges erected in between the boulders and rushing waters. The agile fishermen scamper up and down the scaffolding and plunge in and out of the Congo River. As we're talking to Ogi Saidi, another fisherman emerges from the water, his teeth clamp down on two freshly caught fish, leaving his hands free. Yes, Saidi says it's a style born of experience.
We have been taught like this when we were young. Our grandfather was a fisherman, father was a fisherman, and also we are fishermen. And my child, I want him to be also a fisherman. That's why I said that without this river, Wagenya people, they don't have life.
Once Ogi Saidi has finished plunging in and out of the rapids himself, checking the baskets for any catch, we leave the river at sunset, heading back to Kisangani. Drums beat out a tattoo in the distance in the fishing villages. And as we approach, the swish, swish of the rapids behind us harmonizes with the nighttime chorus of cicadas. The drums conjure up myth and mystery of the Congo River as it hurtles out of the noisy rapids in Kisangani before broadening into a wider riverine highway. From there, the Congo carries everything, people, animals, food, commerce, the life of the nation, hundreds of miles downstream towards our next stop, Mbandaka. Ofebia Kustanton, NPR News.
Tomorrow, the Congo River as a lifeline to commerce.
The Congo River is like a market, a big market. A floating market, and because of this, people come from far away to buy things they need.
And you can experience NPR's journey down the Congo River at our website, npr.org. You'll find an interactive map, audio dispatches, photo galleries, and lots more.